We just have to sit here. I tell you what, one of these days, we're going downstairs and the kids have to stay up here. It's right, yeah. It's right. All right, so if you see, we have, you know, signs here that we don't normally have, and we're starting an RU ministry, Reformers Unanimous, and I'll let Brother Dale talk about that exclusively, but I'm so excited, amen? But I wanted to mention, this is the Sunday school crowd, the RU ministry is only going to be as effective as we make it, amen? And so we need to work hard. It's not something we just purchase the materials and sit there and it's like a spelling test when I was a kid. I'd sleep on my spelling book hoping that it osmosis just into my brain somehow. It doesn't work that way. Just having books on a table isn't going to change anything, amen? So I just want to encourage you with that and challenge you. We need just to bathe this thing in prayer. And like we said, if you're going to be part of this ministry, like here every week, praise the Lord for that. But if not, you can pray. Amen? Mm-hmm. Every one of us need to pray on a daily basis for people and for the meetings and that the Lord's working on hearts and that the Lord would save souls. Amen? Yes, and the Lord's the only person that can make a difference. Brother, why don't you come and present the ministry here to us?
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it very, very much.
Do you want to do a video this morning?
We will. Yes, sir. I'll let you know that. What time is our, what do you normally end?
Well, take the only ones you want, but about quarter till.
Quarter till? Okay, yeah, that's plenty of time, I think. I think. We'll see. Oh, it's so good to see you all here this morning. My name's Dale Aiken. I work with the RU Recovery Ministries. And what that is, it's a discipleship program helping those in three areas: stubborn habits, destructive behavior, and full-blown addictions. And now the world, when they hear the word addiction, they get a little nervous because they think it's about the alcohol or drugs or the promiscuity and all the garbage that goes along with that type of lifestyle. But I'm here to tell you, according to the Word of God, there can be dozens and dozens of different things that people deal with. They could deal with idleness. They could deal with bitterness. They could be dealing with overeating, undereating. They could be dealing with, you know, dozens of different things. And I call them volatile emotions is what I call them. And God says he has the answer and the cure for all of those. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does have all power, by the way. He certainly does. This ministry is going to be an enhancement and an extension of what the discipleship is already happening in this church. You have an outreach. You're telling folks about the Lord. You're inviting people to church. You're picking them up. You're going soul winning. Types of outreach that the church already does. What RU does is helps with those outreaches. Is that the right word? Those outreaches. Yes, and enable you and I to minister to other people. Otherwise, it may not be ministered to. And so RU is for the addict. RU is for the church member. Amen. RU is for the people on the outside. RU is for the people on the inside, because it's all about discipleship, preacher. And we love the Lord, and we are so certainly grateful to have the opportunity to pay it forward. My life was nearly destroyed by addiction over 20 years ago that I battled for 25 years, and God freed me from that. I'm no longer bound to that because he gives freedom. John 8, 30 and 31, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and you shall know the truth." I love the last part of the verse. "And the truth shall make you free." That's where the world needs. They need freedom. And part of our video that we saw yesterday, one man gave a synopsis of freedom and victory. He says getting sobriety will help for a long time, but it doesn't take away the craving or the desire to use again. But getting freedom in the power of Jesus Christ, he does take away the desire to use. He does take away the desire to do wrong and so on. And so praise the Lord for that. It's the RU Addiction Program here. And they're meeting every Friday night, 7 or 6 o'clock. It says 7. We're going to block that out. It's going to say 6 o'clock here. Well, so anyway, they're going to get him a brand new banner for by next week, I promise. No, I don't know if he's going to do that. But he's going to meet on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock here. And so be a part of it. I know your pastor would appreciate that. We've had a great time with you for about the last 72 hours or so. Friday evening, the class went very well. We kind of gave what it would look like on a weekly basis. And again, when people walk in the door, LAWS, I give this acronym, you love them. Thank goodness they came through the door. Bill, you're brand new this morning. Good to see you, man. That's great. talked to the pastor this morning and he brought you to church and he's loved already and you're loved as well. Then A, accept them that the fact that they came out of their busy schedule to come to church or to come to a meeting. Accept that. W, welcome them. Be friendly. Be folksy. How you doing? Good to see you. And then S, show them that there's hope, help, and healing in the name of Jesus. And that's why we meet on Friday nights, Thursday nights, whatever night you want to. And that's why we meet on a weekly basis. And there's about 25,000 to 35,000 people, give or take those numbers of those that contact us over the weeks and the months, that meet every week of the world. There is hope. That's what I'm here to tell you. There is hope, and his name is the Lord. Let me give you one, and I'll show a video in a moment. But let me give you, we're going to show the cardboard testimonies. Yeah, I know it's going to take about 8 minutes, but I'll probably stop it maybe 3 or 4 minutes in or 4 or 5 minutes in. But some facts regarding faith-based recovery. Faith-based recovery studies show that 84% of these studies show that faith-based is a positive factor in addiction prevention. 73% of addiction programs in the U.S. include a spiritually-based element. Lighthouse Baptist Church of Butte, Montana is part of that 73%. $316 billion with a B dollars are saved every year in the economy because of faith-based recovery. Now, by the way, there are trillions of dollars that have been put forth the last 10 years or so, the last 12 years or so, trillions of dollars that have put forth to help people with their recovery. The world's recovery is this. There's about a 15% success rate. I'm so glad that there's success rate in those programs. I really am. The unfortunate thing is there's about a 80 to 85% recidivism where people return back to that. On the faith-based side, it's kind of the opposite. There is a 15 to 20% those who go back, and we can't help the fact that they go back. We pray that they would stay strong. But on the converse side, there's 80 to 85% people who stick with it. They stay with it. They realize this is the answer. This is what I've been looking for. And you're in a group of people who are going to help you and encourage you to stay strong in the Lord. We're not going to condescend on you and make you feel bad. We're going to help you understand that Jesus loves you regardless. But he wants us to stay strong in the Lord as well. 20,000 lives a year. I'll finish with this and we'll show the video, preacher. 20,000 lives a year are saved every year through faith-based programs. I don't mean saved by Jesus Christ and being saved that way. I mean being saved, plucked out of the throes of addiction. Plucked out of a halfway house, if you will. Plucked out of a drug house. Plucked off the streets. Plucked out of an addiction. And these programs that you and I are a part of, we get to see lives changed and saved. So I encourage you. Pray for him. Pray for them. Pray for all of you are already involved with it. Wait a minute, brother. I'm just a church member here. I wasn't here Friday or Saturday. Well, let me tell you, you're already involved because you love the Lord, right? Anybody love the Lord this morning? Sure you do. Anybody love people? Yeah, I think we do. Sure we do. You're already involved, so you pray. Let's show the video. Then I'll have an outline. Gabriel, can you help me with this outline in a minute?
If the church focuses on the needs of our nation, those who are hurting, and those who are going to begin to hurt for the very first time, and look for help, I sense that we as a ministry will be strategically placed to make an impact, a great impact, in these next 10 years.
This is the founder's brother here. Him and I were in the discipleship program men's facility 20 years ago. He's still serving the Lord, and I still have the privilege to serve the Lord. And I'm just telling you, I could go on and on with this. I'm running out of time to teach this morning, but this is, go ahead and finish that one so you can turn over and see what it says. Rebel without a cause. And now, pause it. There you go. Because he loves me. And that's what it's all about, the changed lives. And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, you got to understand, when we're ministering to people, it won't happen overnight. You would hope it would, but because it took a person so many years to get addicted to whatever they're addicted to and stuck in that for years and years and years, it's going to take some time to disciple people. Day in, day out, praying, encouraging, phone calls, letters, email, Gmail, flea mail, as I call it. You know, you can go ahead and turn it off, preacher. We can keep going. And Gabriel, can you pass up this outline for me? But we have an opportunity to encourage one another through, and I probably get 300, I'm not kidding when I say that, I probably get 300 text, emails, or phone calls. Is this on? Okay, just leave it like that? Okay, yeah. I get about 300 phone calls, texts, or emails a week. Brother Agin, when do you sleep? When do you eat? I understand. I know that. Now, what I mean by 300, sometimes people will send you a thread. You know what I mean by that? A thread in the phone. One bubble, and I call them bubbles, whatever. So it could be it could be 20 from one person where we're conversing back and forth and whatnot. But I can tell you this, 90% of the emails and the text, if you need ink pens too, I don't have any extra ink pens. I didn't think of that, Pastor.
Bottom shelf?
Hey, there you go. You need a couple? Oh, you have a few. Okay, good. All right. Praise the Lord. There we go there. But most of those, 90% of those people that are calling and texting and emailing, are positive. They're good. They're saying, I'm praying for you, Brother Aiken. I appreciate you praying for me, and I enjoy that. But there are those who are going to call that need desperate help, and I know that. And I'm going to do my best to try to point them to Christ, point them to Christ's word, and point them to the church house. That's where we can find our freedom. Father, help us this morning. I thank you for this time together. Give us your mind. Give us your burden to reach the lost. And as someone put on there just a little while ago, one person at a time. And thank you so much that we can be involved with the work of eternity. And I pray you give us your power. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Sometimes you don't pray for illustrations in sermons. Sometimes you just, as you teach or as you encourage someone, the Lord brings an illustration to your mind. So this morning, we're going to be talking about being stuck in neutral. Being stuck in neutral. I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations. You're going to think Brother Aiken is the worst driver in the world after I give you these illustrations. But they're just illustrations, okay? And they really happened to me. Philippians 3, look at verse number 7. Here's what the Bible says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power, where I'm lost here, where am I at? Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Then he names four. This is interesting. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, first. Secondly, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, second. Thirdly, I press toward the mark for the prize, third, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, four. Let us therefore be as many as perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Stuck in neutral.
The hardest thing in the world when a person is becoming right and they're getting in the recovery lane, as I call it, the victory lane, the hardest thing in the world to do is to give up your past or to forget about your past. Nothing paralyzes our lives like the attitude that things can never change. We need to remind ourselves that God can change things. Can I get a witness this morning? Outlook determines outcome. If we see only the problems, we will be defeated. But if we see the possibilities in the problems, we have the victory. Paralyzed. I could be paralyzed if I'm not careful. I was driving my car several years ago, and my daughter was with me. She might have been 13 at the time. My youngest daughter, we were going to the grocery store, and I live literally across the street from where this plaza is, and I was going up the frontage road there, maybe 15 miles an hour or so. I was driving a 2000 Honda Civic, and the front right tire buckled. The axle broke. Now, again, I'm going 15 miles an hour. And so I pull up there, and it's, you know, it's a little bit annoying, if you will, and I tried to get off the side the best I could. And cars are kind of coming and going and so on. And one guy pulled up and rolled down his window and said, "Hey, you okay?" I said, he said, "You look like you're pretty bad over there." I said, "I'm going to be fine. I called a tow truck. We're going to be okay." He said, "Okay." Another guy pulled up and got out and says, "Can there anything I can help you with?" I said, "No." I said, "The tow truck's on the way, but I appreciate you stopping." He goes, "Okay, thanks." And so he got back in his car and left. And so we're sitting there. And the good thing is it wasn't cold. It wasn't raining. And it wasn't nighttime. It was all during the day and so on. The weather was pretty decent. And so we're sitting there just waiting on the tow truck. Another guy came up, and he got out of his car, and I got out of the car. And you know how you men are, we're this way. We kind of look around, think, yeah, okay, I can figure this out, right? You kick the car, and you get back in the car. That's just the way we are. And so the guy, you know, he's looking at me, and he says, "Man, you're in a blankety-blank mess, are you?" Now, my daughter was sitting in the car, so she wasn't hearing him curse. And I said, "Yeah, a little mess here." I said, "But praise the Lord, it's not raining." And he just kind of looked at me like I fell off a fence or something. And he says, "Well, what are you blankety-blank going to do?" And I said, the tow truck's on the way. I'm going to be fine." He goes, "Well, blankety-blank-blank." I said, "You know what? I'm praising the Lord for several things here." I said, "Well, praise the Lord, I wasn't driving on 90, and the car broke down like that. And I didn't hit another car. Nobody's injured. It's not raining. It's daytime. It's not cold. Praise the Lord." The guy looked at me and says, "Okay, sure, whatever, man." He's backing away from me, getting in his car. You know, so I was stuck in a neutral position there, but I could have had a very bad attitude. You follow what I'm saying? I could have had a very terrible attitude with it, but the Lord was sufficing the situation there. I didn't want to be paralyzed when I'm stuck in a position where I can't get out. Okay? This morning, the key would not open the door to the truck today. I'm turning and turning and turning, and nothing's happening. It's like, okay, I don't mean the ignition. I mean just to get in the truck, you know. And so, okay, I'll try, keep trying. You know, 5 minutes goes by, 10 minutes goes by. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be late to church. So I called the pastor, and I said, "Pastor, I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm stuck here. The truck won't unlock." He goes, "Oh, brother," he says, "I should have told you. I don't ever lock that truck." Okay, amen. And we're in a safe neighborhood here, right? So what happened? The pastor came and rescued me. I'm stuck in a neutral position. I can't go anywhere. You see what I'm saying? I was driving a truck for a delivery company several years ago, and we're driving along, and Jeff was the guy who came with me to help me unload the windows and the doors. And so we're going down Route 71 and from Cleveland, Ohio, down to Mansfield, Ohio, and I'm doing about 60 miles an hour, and all of a sudden the front of the truck began to do this number, shake real bad. I'm thinking, what in the world? I got a blown out tire. I didn't know what's going on here. So it's shaking pretty bad, and eventually I felt it really wobbling real bad, and you could feel it shaking. And so we're going down 71. Jeff says, "Man, we got issues, brother." He called me Dale. "We got issues, Dale." And I said, "I know, man. I don't know what to do." So I'm slowing down. All of a sudden, that front tire, Alex, broke off of the front axle. Now, it's a box truck like you drive. Same thing. So I'm driving. Jeff looked at me, and I looked at him like, what in the world? And so I'm driving along, and you know, you just don't stop on a dime. What happened? The front of that truck went like this. I'm thankful it was on the passenger side and not the driver's side, for one. So that thing went like this, and I'm screeching along the highway, and Jeff's like, "Ah!" He's screaming. I'm like, "Ah! We're screaming. We're going to be fine." You know, but anyway, but you're doing 40 miles an hour. So it's screeching there, probably put about a 100-foot groove in the highway there, and we both look out the window. Here's this tire, boom, 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 bouncing down this little ravine there. And again, I'm so thankful it didn't come across and hit another car and all of that. Now I'm really stuck. I call my boss. He says, "What happened to you?" "Okay, we'll take care of you." So I'm in a position where I can't move anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying all that to say this. Sometimes We can get so stuck in a position in our life, we're paralyzed. What do I do? Where do I go? What do I say? Do I call the church house? I want help. Do I call a friend? Do I do this? Do I do that? I'm paralyzed. Paralyzed, here's on your outline, to check action, to destroy the power of action. Paul had reason to feel sorrow about the past. He certainly did, didn't he? But hallelujah, praise God, glory to God. Paul got absolutely, incredibly, wonderfully transformed. He got saved, preacher. He went from this direction he was going in his life. God exchanged that direction for this way to go this way. What an amazing testimony the Apostle Paul has. By the way, it's all miraculous. I was talking to Dana, isn't it, Dana? Yeah, I was talking to you at the table back there. We were talking about being saved and so on. And she says, isn't it wonderful? And I said, yes, it's miraculous. We're all miracles. Can I get a witness this morning? All of us are miracles. On your outline here, you cannot dwell on your past. And certainly, you cannot dwell in your past. There are things, folks, that you will never change about your past. You can't change it. You just can't change it. And I'd like to go back sometimes and say, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. I should have done this. Man, what in the world did I do that for? I'd love to go back and do that, but I can't. Aunt Laureen, 5'0". God bless her. I love her. She was my dad's sister. We'd go to family reunions when I was 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 years old. And Aunt Laureen, how you doing, honey? Good to see you. Squeezing the cheeks and all that. You know, that's your Aunt Laureen. Anybody got Aunt Laureen? Yeah. I love her. And you're 12 years old and you're like, okay, you don't want Aunt Laureen to squeeze your cheeks. But she's like, come here, honey. Good to see you. Back, squeezing the cheeks. Love you, Aunt Laureen. Good to see you. So now you're 25 and 27 years old. And you go to a family reunion. Oh, honey, I remember, I'm 5 foot tall. I'm 12. I can look her eye to eye. But at 27, I'm 6 foot tall. She's still 5 foot tall. She hasn't grown any taller, you know. So I can't look her out of the eye. She said, come here, honey. I'm thinking, oh, no, what is she going to do? She goes, I remember when you were 12. I said, Aunt Laureen, please don't remind me when I was 12. Please don't do that. You know, I wasn't a good kid. I was a rotten kid, I guess. I don't know. Ask my 10 brothers and sisters. Maybe they'll tell you I was rotten or good. I don't know. But she said, come here, honey. She goes, it's so good to see you. 27 years old. She's squeezing my cheeks. Those are things I don't want to remember. Come on, Aunt Laureen, don't do that to me. I know I was 12. But paralyzation in our lives is going to take place if we're not careful. Regarding your past, you got two options. Number one, you can adore it. You can adore your past to love in the highest degree. You ever look back and think there's memories about your past that you really enjoyed? Sure, all of us have wonderful memories about our past. And things, people that we loved and people that we got to maybe serve the Lord with and people and friends and so on. We can look back and there's wonderful things about our past. But there's some things about our past we look back and say, oh my goodness, I don't ever want to remember that again. I don't remember what I was in 1978, 1979, 1980. Kids, that's a different dispensation. There is such a thing called the 80s. You know, you young millennials, yeah, there was. My kids are like, Dad, the 80s, what is that? So that's a different dispensation. That's a different century for that matter. Anyway, so I can look at my past. Either I can adore my past, or secondly, I can abandon my past. Huh. What does abandon mean? To renounce or forsake. Literally, abandon means to turn my back on the past. Amen. I don't want to go there. I don't live there anymore. Help me now. Mm-hmm. Who wants to live in their past? Rewind television. MeTV. Antenna TV. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, what are those? Those are television stations that sitcoms or bring up shows where from the past. You see what I'm saying? Radio stations. I like to listen to. There's a station in Chicago. I think it's 670 AM. They have radio programs from the 40s and the 50s. Dick Tracy. They have on there. They have. Who is the other guy? The Shadow Knows and things like that. I kind of like to listen. It kind of gets your imagination going a little bit. But I can't live there. I can't dwell there. I certainly wasn't alive in the 40s. Don't look at me that way. But I wasn't alive back then, so I can't live there. So either I got to abandon that. Where I was 20 years ago, away from God, I don't live there anymore. Hallelujah! I don't live there anymore. I live here in the glory of God. In His presence, I live with His power. And I can pray, I can have His humility and His spirit as I minister day after day, either to my family or to those that God brings across my path. So there's two things I can do about my past, paralyzing there. Adore, abandon. Secondly, this morning, your present now. We're going to talk about our present, and we'll get to our future in a minute. Your present with its circumstances may neutralize you. Now follow me on this one. Your present may, with its circumstances, may neutralize you. Anybody need any money? Every hand should be going up right now. Anybody need more food? Yeah. Anybody need more clothes or more vehicles or more? Anybody need more? You fill in the blank. Every hand should go up right now. We all need more of something. Okay. And we can be contented with what we have, and God is so good in giving us what we need. You know that. I know that. And I'm so grateful for that. But if we're not careful, we will live in a neutralized position in our life, thinking that we're discontented and we don't have everything that we really do need. Let me help you with this. When Jesus Christ saves a person, everything that's in this Bible right here is available for him. He has everything I'm ever going to need in my life. Everything I'm ever going to need. Now, 3 or 4 years ago, I wasn't a father-in-law yet. 3 or 4 years ago, I wasn't a grandfather yet. I look good for a grandfather, don't they? Thank you. But I wasn't a grandpa yet. You know, so I didn't need the strength and the grace and the wisdom of a father-in-law or a grandfather. You follow what I'm saying? I didn't need that then. But now as God grows us, this is what it's all about, when we're helping people get out of the throes of addiction, we're growing them in areas of their life where God says, I'm going to give you the grace that's available for you to grow in this area. He says, but don't be stuck in neutral now. Get over the past. Let it go. Paul said, I don't want it anymore. But that was over. He says, what's past is past. Exactly what Paul said. He says, now I want to get in a position where I have a future that's going to be revolutionized by Jesus Christ. We'll see that in a moment. But the neutralizing of our mind can happen as well. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. So neutralize is to reduce to a state of indifference. Between parties or opinions. 2 Peter chapter 3, look in verse number 14. 2 Peter 3, 14. And follow with me, please. 2 Peter 3, 14. Here's what the Bible says. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Hallelujah for that right there. Boy, praise the Lord for that. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That word rest, W-R-E-S-T, is a shorter version of the word wrestle. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now I want you to see something here. When people get in a neutralized position, it's like a que sera sera. Who cares? Whatever will be, will be. It's just going to happen. I may as well just give in and give up in life. Oh well. You and I meet people every day of our life that have that type of mentality. And they're stuck in neutral, aren't they? It's not that they don't know the Lord. Some of them may not know the Lord. But it's not that they don't know the Lord. It's just they're not giving the Lord the proper priority and place in their life because he does have a future for them. And I have to see that, and I really have to believe that, ladies and gentlemen, by faith. It doesn't come natural. It comes supernatural. So I can be one of those that are stuck in the not understanding things. Unlearned. What's the next word there? He says unstable. As they do the other scriptures, look what the last part of the verse says. Unto their own destruction. Oh my goodness. People come into the church house today. We don't want anybody to be destroyed because of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's keep praying. Let's keep going after them. Let's keep encouraging them. Let's keep loving them to the Lord. But they're unstable. They're unlearned. They're wrestling against what they maybe don't understand. And what they'll do, Alex, they'll throw in the towel. What's the use? An old preacher comes by their door. Hey, how you doing? Visiting from Lighthouse Baptist Church. Man, how did you know I needed Christ? I don't know. The Lord sent me down this street, down this way, picked you up. Here you are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what ministry is all about. You and I get to be a part of it. And we get to minister to people. that are stuck in this neutral position. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that they're actually opposing themselves. They don't know what's right and wrong. They don't know how to live a godly life. They don't know how to live a stable life. And you and I get to help them. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. What does he use? What tool does the Holy Spirit use? He uses his word. And we get to help people down that avenue as well. Two things about my past. Well, I got 4 minutes. Can we do it? I don't think so. But 2 minutes about my past is this, my present. I look at the statement there right in the middle of under neutralized. I must not live without learning. I must have a receptive heart to God's truth and think more highly of the truth of God than anything the world may offer to my spirit, my soul, and my body. The word receptive means this, to receive what has been communicated to you. To receive what has been communicated to you, to your mind, to your will, to your emotions, to your spirit. That's what being receptive is all about. I won't do that for sake of time. Regarding your past, I can do one of two things. I can be apathetic about it. Void of feeling. I can be void of feeling. I can be free from passion, insensible. Verse number 18 in our Bibles here, verse 17 says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye all know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Huh. Now it's interesting. I don't want to be stuck in a neutral position where I'm just constantly don't care about anything in life. Who cares? Throw in the towel. Nor should I have a condescending, arrogant, prideful, haughty, cocky spirit thinking, I've arrived. I've got a Bible and you don't. I've got a suit and you don't. I've got this, I've got that. And that could be a terrible disposition that people have. And people of God should never have that disposition. What does he say there? What happens? Look at the last part of the verse. He says, you're led away with the error of the wicked. You fall from your own steadfastness. Everybody in this room is being attacked by the devil himself. You are. I am. And your pastor has been sharing with me what's been happening in just this general area just the last several months, because God knows that lives are going to be changed. But so does the devil. And the devil's going to lose some people. Hallelujah for that. He's going to lose people that were going to go to hell. They're going to go to heaven. And God's going to gain them. And Lighthouse Baptist Church is going to gain them too. So we have to be careful. Don't be stuck over there, but certainly don't be stuck over here in haughtiness and arrogance. So I can be apathetic about my present, and secondly, under that, I can be arrogant. Arrogant is assuming, making or having the disposition to make exorbitant claims of rank or estimation. I can be very arrogant if I'm not careful. Gabriel, would you take two of those outlines and take them back there to those ladies? Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Your future with Christ, however, will revolutionize you. Revolutionize with you. I got 2 minutes. Are we okay with you, preacher? Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, good. Revolutionize to effect an entire change of principles. Paul said his goal was to know Christ. Paul said his goal was to be like Christ. Paul said his goal was to be all that Christ had in mind for him. When you get saved, Christ has a future for you. He has your life in the palm of his hand. That boggles my mind. I can't fathom that. But God has my life in his hand along with the other 7.5 billion people in the world, because God has all power. And he has all knowledge. Certainly, our goal should be, the desires or should be of everyone sitting here, is to be revolutionized in our future by Jesus Christ himself. Regarding my future, I can do one of two things. Number one, I can stick it on autopilot. They're all the letter A, Alex, if you haven't noticed that. I'm a preacher. Remember, I alliterate this stuff. The letter A, autopilot. I can put it on autopilot and say, somebody else take control of the situation. I want to stay in neutral. That's where when you minister to people, they're opposing themselves. I don't know whether I want to just really trust Christ and through and so on. I mean, let the preacher live my Christian life for me. Nobody can live your Christian life for you except Jesus Christ. He says it in Galatians chapter 2. We're going to preach that this morning. Galatians 2 says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not the faith of Pastor N. Bowden, not the faith of Alex, not the faith of Dale. You live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my victory right now. That keeps me in the victory lane. So I can either put it on autopilot or I can accelerate. What does accelerate mean? Here you go. Hasten, quick in motion. Get with it. To add to a natural or ordinary progression. If I'm getting on 90, trying to get on an exit ramp to get on 90 here, and the traffic's already going 75, and I decide I want to do 45. Boy, I'm going to be the most popular person on Route 90, aren't I? I sure am, because they're going 70, 75. And here I am stuck over here in 45, 50 miles an hour. It just won't, I won't be able to yield. I won't be able to get in the flow of traffic. You understand? Where the Lord Jesus is telling us, look, he says, accelerate it. I'm already going in the righteous path. I'm already going in the righteous direction. Leave your past behind you. Let it alone. Don't be stuck in neutral. Don't be stuck in your present. He says, look to the future. I'm coming back one day to take you back to heaven, get you out of this mess. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness for that? Hallelujah. But while we're here, he says, accelerate it. Accelerate it. Here's your conclusion. We have a free will, of course. All of us do. God has given you and me as well. As a measure of faith. That's Romans 12:3. Here's your key. If I react to life and these situations, then I'm walking in the flesh. If I react to situations, I'm walking in the flesh. But if I respond, then I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. Here's what walking in the Spirit means, folks. Very simple. I'll give you a good illustration here. We'll be done in 30 seconds. Walking in the Spirit is this. You're taking repeated steps in the direction that God is leading you. That's basically walking in the Spirit. And the whole way while I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm asking God, help me. I'm asking God, lead me. I'm asking God, would you fill me with your Spirit? I'm asking God, would you keep me at bay from the devil? Would you keep me at bay from my past? Would you keep the addiction out of my life? Would you take away the desire to do wrong? I'm doing that while I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking by his way and in his way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these faithful people. Would you give us the desire to follow you with all that we have? I surrender all. I think